everybody. Once again, it's time for another Falcon Cast here live from Flowery Branch. It's now the off season, but guess what? We're going to be here every single week, or just about every single week. There'll be a week or two that we may take some vacation, but
every week. Most times, you know, if it's two people, if it's one person,
we'll
be here. Somebody will be
one
here.
One guy can run the show.
Bosek will do it.
Bosek will sit in him, too. I mean, he can run the board and be over here, right?
Do it all.
Yeah, easy.
Just put the GoPro camera on you, and, you know, that's all we have to do.
Go time.
Well, it is the end of the regular season. It's the end of the season for the people here at Flowery Branch. I saw a lot of tweets from you guys throughout the week as the equipment guys are packing up stuff for the off season. For me, it's really a sad time, but a time of reflection for what happened in 2015 for the Atlanta Falcons. So we'll spend some time today talking about that. We'll break with Bosek as we always do. We'll have a video of the week. We will award our regular season picks to click winner as we have one of those coming up. And we'll get ready for the postseason pick to click because we will continue that throughout the postseason. We'll kind of figure out what our, you know, major reward is. You'll get a lamp. That's what you're going to get, a major reward.
So that's what the winner gets?
Major fragile.
It'll be fragile.
From A Christmas Story, if you're keeping score at home. Don't forget, you can take us with you. Subscribe to FalconCast on iTunes. Search FalconCast. Hit the subscribe button and get each week's episode on the go. Kind of want to set up what we'll do during the off season. Because, obviously, the regular season's simple. We break down the game that just happened. We talk about the game that's about to happen. And that's kind of how FalconCast goes. Well, now in the off season, there's a lot of different dynamics we can dive into. A, we'll talk about the comings and goings here at Flowery Branch. If something breaks or if something's about to break, we'll give you that. We'll talk about needs for the football team as we get into free agency. We can't really do that yet league-wise. It's kind of considered tampering if we start talking about specific players. So we'll give you some general, here's guys that'll be free agents for Atlanta. Do you want to bring them back? Do you want to fill a position but not really get into specifics until the league season is officially over? We'll talk draft with you. We'll talk about weight loss. We'll do a little bit of everything.
Weight loss.
We're going to have some fun.
We're going to play some games.
Yes.
We'll play some games. We'll do some fun stuff. We'll go a little off the beaten path sometimes. Maybe we'll have guests.
I like that.
We'll have guests. And I've also heard we will be at the site of the new stadium from time to time, giving you updates. Throughout the offseason.
Absolutely. That's going to be a big deal.
Now, are we actually going to have to put on a hard hat, grab a wrench, and start putting things together?
No, they've got plenty of people who are doing that. But
they're doing it at a fast pace,
yes,
too.
Yes, they are. And we'll have to. We will have to wear hard hats, though, because it is an active construction site. But it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want things to go right, two things that don't mix. Me.
Power
and
tools.
Physical labor.
Oh.
Look at these hands. Come on.
Can't fix anything? That's
no. That's what my checkbook is for, and for people, what...
You got a small kid. You have to fix stuff on Christmas, don't you?
Well, no, that stuff's fine, because it has...
Who's ringing?
Instructions?
An instruction book.
Somebody, are you ringing?
Sorry, that's
there,
me.
Answer there, the phone. There.
Someone answer the
there,
phone live on
there,
the, live on,
there.
On the podcast.
I'm going to put this back in my pocket. Somebody... Somebody calling me from Tennessee. I don't. You know what that typically is? That's a telemarketer.
The Titans calling you?
Yes. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's Mariota. Me and him got to be pretty cool. No, we have not. But yeah.
Why did you automatically assume it was me?
You're usually on your phone.
See, here's what I tried to do. And you guys have yelled at me for while we're shooting this, kind of looking down. I said, if I lay it here, I can kind of glance over and see if it's an important call.
Well, then you forget this part is it's pretty hard in the vibration.
These mics pick up a lot.
They do.
So
they do. But that's what we'll do during the off season. We'll start real quickly. Obviously, the end, not how you wanted it. Losing to the New Orleans Saints 20-17. I don't want to say it was fitting that the season ended the way that it did, but let's be honest. It was kind of fitting that the season ended the way that it did.
That fourth quarter was like 2015 in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, it really was. That's the way it felt. That you have a red zone turnover that costs you an opportunity to go ahead. You allow the team to go down the field. You have a little glimmer of hope in getting another turnover, forcing a turnover, and then you force another one. And there were just so many things.
Personal foul penalties.
You know what? There were four drives the Falcons had in the second half. And those four drives are a complete synopsis of what the Falcons season was. Because you guys mentioned you had a red zone turnover by Devontae. You had a sack on like third down. So we had pressure on the quarterback. That's been an issue all season. And then you talk about the penalty. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the interception at the end of the game. Interceptions or turnovers in key moments. That's like things that have happened throughout the whole season. And when I went back and looked on, I said, wow, this is exactly how this season has gone. Pretty much when, you know, things are going bad for your offense.
I could add one more to that. You get the turnover. Matt throws the interception. You still have three timeouts left, which means if you can stop New Orleans from getting a first down, you're going to get the ball back with a minute and change left, probably down a field goal. Unfortunately, you could not get the stop. You call timeout, third down. They pick up the first down, and now all of a sudden all they have to do is take a knee in the middle of the field, kick a field goal, and the season comes to an end at 8-8. When you look back at the 2015 season, and I'll start with this question for both of you. Was Dan Quinn the right hire for this organization?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen from the day he got here, you know, we're lucky enough to see everything that goes on behind the scenes and just everything that he has created since he's been here. I mean, we've literally knocked down walls for this guy. Mm-hmm. And it's been really, really kind of cool to see how the organization has shifted over the last year. There's no doubt in my mind that he's the right guy for the job. Absolutely no doubt in my mind. I think, you know, he's just going to need some time to get his players, his team, the way he wants it. And that takes a couple of cycles of free agency and draft to get to that point. So, you know, I look at 2015 and I think you overachieved. You did a lot of things that a lot of people didn't expect you to do. Okay. So, again, and we've said this a million times, if you would have said we were 8-8, that's how we were going to finish at the start of the season, we'd been like, well, that's an improvement. That's great. I think the way you started is what ultimately shifted expectations a little out of whack. But all in all, you made improvements almost across the board on defense. You improved on offense. You've got a big scoring issue that you've got to solve in the offseason. But everything that you were doing as far as moving the ball, getting the ball in the hands of your playmakers, having enough playmakers to get the ball down the field, you've got all that. So there's just a couple of little pieces that need to be filled in, and you're sitting in a very, very good position. If anybody would have said that we would have been in the playoff hunt in week 16, mm-hmm. before this season started, we would have been thrilled. So, you know, somewhere along the line, everybody kind of lost that perspective, and it's been a whole lot of doom and gloom for much of the season. And that's what happens when you lose six games in a row. So I understand that. But, man, I still think going forward, you've got a ton to be excited about under Dan Quinn.
Jay, you know what? I think it's not a lot I can add to what you just talked about, because you hit on all the things that I thought about as well when you talk about Coach Quinn and what he's brought to this organization. And from a guy who's a player and looking at it from a player standpoint, I think he brought some of the swagger back. I think he brought some of that attitude back that this team needed. You talked about defensively last year. You were pretty much last in the league in a lot of different categories. And this year, you're kind of in the middle. And almost, you know, you have a majority of the guys who were on that same team last year, on this team last year, i.e. a couple different players. But at the same time, in the short amount of time he was here, he was able to get these guys motivated enough and have that type of attitude to be able to get after people. Obviously, I know people wanted more sacks. 19 on the year is definitely not what you set out to be last in the league in sacks. But at the end of the day, this defense kept you in so many games this season. And in this league, we know defenses win championships for you. Mm-hmm. The teams that are in the playoffs right now, they play really good defense. Offense is always going to be electric. As long as you have number two here, you have number 11 here, you're going to have a chance to win. It's hard to stop both of those guys when they're hitting on all cylinders. And like you mentioned, Coach Quinn's coming into an organization where he's trying to put his stamp on everything. And it's the same thing that goes with offense. Right. Shanahan is doing the same thing with his offense, and he's trying to get him and Matt on the same page on a weekly basis. So it's going to take time. And like you mentioned, to come in this season to be 8-8 and have a chance to be in the playoff hunt late in the season, mm-hmm. that speaks volumes for a first-year head coach and for the difference that he's made. I mean, he come in here with a totally different mindset than the previous head coach. And for those same guys, the veterans that's been here, to be able to flip the switch and try to get that moving on the right path, I think was big, and he's definitely the guy, I think, for the Falcons.
And I think you shored up what did you want to do coming into 2015? You wanted to shore up some holes. You wanted to see some improvements in a lot of areas. Well, you finished the season with two offensive tackles in the top 10 in the league.
Right.
What has happened with Ryan Schrader, I think, has been completely missed this year. Mm-hmm. He put together a fantastic season on the other side, and let's not forget, he was an an undrafted guy.
Sure.
He got a little bit of playing time last year, but you talk about the development program that Coach Quinn has instituted here, and you've really seen guys grow. You may start to see the potential be reached in a guy like Tyler Starr, who has been there's been a lot of time invested in him. Look at Ricardo Allen and making a change from position, cornerback. Yeah. I mean, a year ago, he was a practice squad cornerback, and now he's the team leader in interceptions at safety. I mean, these are things that you can – this is evidence of progress. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes, you've got a sack problem. Yes, you've got a scoring problem. Yes, you've got a turnover problem right now. But you've made so many strides in other areas that we were complaining about last year that you can only look at the progress and say, okay, you're moving in the right direction.
And I think all those things you just named, those three key things are things that you can get better in the offseason.
Absolutely.
They're not just something that's dramatically in a player right. that you say, okay, I don't know if he's reached the ceiling and he can't do any more. Turnovers, you can make sure you do a better job of, you know, taking care of the football or finding ways to get after the quarterback or making sure you score in the red zone. Those are all things that you can, you know, fine-tune in the offseason. So it's not like you're far off from being good.
And look at the impact that you've had with some of the guys that you brought in. You bring in an Adrian Claiborne. You bring in an O'Brien Schofield. Kind of mid-tier guys, mm-hmm. guys that got to prove themselves. You bring them in on one-year deals, and both of those guys lead your team in QB hurries. So, I mean, this is one of the things that I see across the board is that you've seen improvements in a lot of areas and enough that you should be optimistic about the future.
And, John, before we move on, We can't fail to mention you came into the season not knowing who was going to be toting the rock for you. I mean, right, you knew you had a couple guys there, but they both were unproven. You drafted a guy in the third round. You had Devontae coming into his second year, played sparingly last year. So you weren't sure if they could handle that load.
Yeah.
And guess what? In the season, he's a Pro Bowler. So you know coming into the next season, you have that piece in line. And I think we kind of lose sight of it because he played so well, mm-hmm. and we forget where he started.
Right.
A lot of people kind of doubted him, said, I don't know if he's big enough. I don't know if he can be a three-down guy. Yeah. We seen him coming last year on third down, and that was his big contribution. But, you know, just having him there, having him have the season he has been huge.
Yeah, it has been. Now, there's a couple of questions outside of Dan Quinn. We can kind of hit on all of these, and you guys have done a good job with that so far. Scheme, personnel, attitude, and culture. Are they the right fits right now? And I'll start with scheme from my own personal aspect. I think on the defensive side, the scheme is right. Do you need some different and maybe better personnel? Yeah, you do. Dan Quinn wants to rush four, drop seven into coverage, whether it's zone or man. You can't have another season of 19 sacks, and that's all they had this year, worst in the National Football League. You need to get that in the 30 to 35 range, and that's probably going to lead to some personnel changes. Again, I'm not going to speculate who and what, but there could be some personnel changes along the front seven. Is the scheme fine? Sure. You've got two pretty good – you've got a really good corner in Desmond Trufant, a guy in Robert Alford that if he can clean up some of the penalties, he's got the physical tools ability to do that. Jalen Collins was drafted. Phillip Adams played well. You may need an extra safety with the injury to William Moore and stuff like that, but this could be a team that continues to get better. Is the attitude around here right? Absolutely. You went from 6-7 in a team that should have or could have mailed it in, and you didn't. And is the culture right? Yes, these guys buy into it. So that all ties in to what I think about Dan Quinn. He's the right guy. I think his staff mostly is correct. I don't think we're going to see any changes barring somebody getting a different job offer. But I think you're going to see this next year. You'll see tweaks and you'll see some personnel changes that might lead for a little bit more success.
Yeah, and I think, again, I've got a hammer on this point because I think it is so important. All of you at home, think about a year ago and think about what we're saying right now. At that time, you would have been thrilled with everything that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Try to find that perspective again because, you know, what you really wanted to get out of 2015 was progress and building towards something. Mm-hmm. It's not a rebuilding effort. Mm-hmm. There's just some pieces that need to fall into place in order for you to play at a high level of football again. You're seeing major, major steps and strides towards that. So I don't want that to get lost in everything here because I think everything that you just mentioned is just more evidence that everything is going down the right path right now. Yes, You hit plenty of speed bumps this year. There were plenty of hiccups. There were plenty of times that you could have been disappointed or upset or angry or all those things. We completely recognize that, but please don't lose perspective that this is a team that is on the rise still. And I don't know, I'm going to speak for myself. I am psyched about this offseason, about what could potentially be the 2016 Falcons.
I'll tell you guys this. Everybody knows a good friend of mine is Thomas Davis, who plays for Carolina. Mm-hmm. I talked to him after they beat the Falcons 38-0.
Right.
And I asked him about the team. And the one thing he said was, they're going to be a good team. And you just beat them 38-0. He said, don't get me wrong now. We play really well, but they're going to be really good in the future. And that's him knowing and playing against them and, you know, understanding what they're trying to do. And I think he can – He can sense that this is the team that eventually is going to get it going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he didn't have to tell me that. He didn't have to, you know, he could say, hey, we had a great game. But he said, they're a team that's on the rise. They're a team that's going to be better. They're getting better. They're starting to play a little bit better. And I thought that was pretty interesting to hear him say that. This was after the 30. This wasn't after the Falcons beat them. This was before that. And he said they got a really solid team, and they're going to be good in the future.
And speaking of player commentary, I mean, you look at the comments from the Falcons after the game on Sunday, and you just lost to a division rival. You lost in a heartbreaking way again. And these guys are sitting there saying, you know what? We are on the right track.
Right.
Everything that's happening for us right now, you know, we're learning through all these down times, but we're moving ahead towards positive times. I mean, Jonathan Babineau even said, Dan Quinn's staff is going to have this team in a Super Bowl. I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And those are strong words from a guy like Babs, because Babs is not going to come out and say things like that all the time. He's not exactly a quote machine, but he really came out and put it on the line and said, look, I believe enough in this coaching staff to say that they are going to get this team to a championship.
I think a guy like Babs, who's been around a couple different head coaches since he's been here, and you understand what it takes in the locker room. You understand what it takes on the practice field, and you can sense the differences between different years, and you can understand that this feels a little bit different than any other, you know, year I've been around. And when you sense you're like this close week in and week out from being a solid team, a team that's week 16, you know, on the verge of being in the playoffs, you can sense it. And I think he understands it, as well as I know a bunch of guys in that locker room understands this is a team that, given, you know, a year, given a couple more pieces, will be right in the thick of everything that's happening right now, which is the playoffs about to start.
I think one of the interesting things that happened this week, too, is we saw, you know, on Monday, the Falcons packing up their gear and you know, kind of getting ready for the offseason. I think what struck me a little bit more about that is that there were so many lockers that weren't being cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because guys don't expect to be gone that long.
Right.
There's a lot of guys that go home, they go train, and, you know, like I know Brian Schofield, he goes and trains in Arizona, and there's guys that go train all over the place, but a lot of them stay.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of lockers that are still full in that locker room right now is really amazing, and I think it's a testament to everything that we've talked about as far as the culture and the attitude that Coach Quinn has put in place here.
Man, the main thing that will stick with me from 2015 is how close you really were to it being a special season. It lets you know, and this is something we preached in week 5 when the team was 5-0 and people were going, well, you only beat this team. Enjoy every win
right.
in the National Football League.
Right.
Because you won a bunch of games early in the season that, quite frankly, if Croy Bierman doesn't come up with a strip sack, you probably lose to New York.
Mm-hmm.
If Dallas has Tony Romo, maybe you lose to the Cowboys. If the Eagles, there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts that could have happened. If Robert Alford doesn't get a pick six, you lose to the Redskins. All of those things said, you still were able to win. And then guess what? On the back end, you don't turn it over here, there, or another place. Guess what? You're probably winning 3 or 4 more games. Appreciate the wins and realize outside of 2, maybe 3 games, Carolina, the first game, obviously there's a no chance.
Mm-hmm.
I think Minnesota pretty much dominated from start to finish. Give mm-hmm. them credit where it's due. And maybe the first Saints game. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And that's a game, again, that you fumbled 3 times in the red zone.
Yeah.
You could have won all but those games. That'll tell you how close this football team is. And that's why we're all the fans that are out there going, run this guy out of town, fire this guy, trade this guy. You guys are nuts. There's a lot of programs or a lot of teams around the National Football League that aren't in the playoffs that would love to trade player for player, personnel for personnel with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, it's so funny. You know, being the social media guy, I see everything.
And I don't even want to see your Twitter.
So you guys being on the radio, I mean, you get the text messages and you guys get the callers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we've kind of seen and heard it all. And some of the funny stuff that I see is some of the people who comment about just win a Super Bowl already. As if it was that
easy. Yeah, it was just easy. You know? No problem.
There are 31 teams that are disappointed every single year. And there's only one that's going to hoist that trophy up. And so that'll make it even sweeter when you win one. But, you know, that's the thing about this league is it is hard to win games and it's hard to win Super Bowl.
I'll say this. And if one thing that I know you guys probably listen to Coach Quinn after the games and everything, and he always talks about there's going to be three or four plays throughout a game that really determines a game. And he says you got to make sure you give everything you have on every single play because you don't know if this is the play. And that's how close or that's how small the margin of victory is in the National Football League is one or two plays here or there that can determine a football game. And that's what makes it so hard to win. That's what makes all the preparation Monday through Saturday for – you know, for three or four plays and 2 or 3 seconds throughout a play for that particular play to matter. So it's a finite, you know, a little small margin of what people don't understand how small it is in the margin of victory in the National Football League.
We could probably go back if we really wanted to and do this somewhere throughout the year and list 10 plays.
Yeah.
Literally 10 plays that change you from 8-8 to 14-2.
True.
Mm-hmm. 10, maybe less than 10.
True. Yep.
That's how close it is. I want to go back to something you said about winning the Super Bowl and how easy.
Yeah, yeah.
You grew up in upstate New York, right?
Yes, I did.
Buffalo Bills go to 4 straight Super Bowls.
They
don't win any of them.
They don't.
Most people would call them epic chokers, yet they went to 4 straight Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You would consider them successful at that time, yet they would trade anything they had right now to get another one of those opportunities.
So, yeah, I grew up a diehard Buffalo Bills fan. I mean, they still have a wonderful place in my heart. But, you know, I'm red and black all the way. But they, you know, the ESPN just did the 30 for 30, the Four Falls of Buffalo.
Yes,
it is sitting on my DVR, and I can't bring myself to watch.
No.
I still
you can't
cannot,
watch it.
I cannot watch
it's
it.
It's awesome. I'm telling you that. It's awesome.
I know, but it brings back so many terrible, terrible memories.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's you would think that. Just one. That's all you wanted was just one. Just for that kick to be, you know, a couple of feet more to the center.
And how many Hall of Famers were on that team? Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed.
Steve Tasker should
Bruce Smith. I mean, you're talking about four Hall of Famers. Marv Levy's a Hall of Fame coach. James Lofton. And they couldn't win. They could not win the ultimate prize. That's why Falcon fans calm down. It's not that easy.
It's not.
I grew up in South Florida. Dan Marino is top five quarterback all time.
Yeah.
You know how many times he went to the Super Bowl? Once.
Once. Yeah.
That was in his second year. It's not easy.
Not to tell you anything that happened in it, but throughout those four Super Bowls, they show you highlights of the game, but there's three or four plays throughout the game that they show you and say, if it could have went this way, or if I would have gave a little bit more, guys talking about it on this one particular play. It's not, you know, this whole quarter. It's a couple plays here and there, and that's what people have to realize is that's how small it is.
And, and that's really the thing. You talk about you list off the names that were on that Buffalo Bills roster.
You're saying no way they lose four in a row.
There's
no way.
There's no way they don't win at least one of them. And it was just,
They lost to Jeff Hostetler. Who was the quarterback? Was it Mark Rippon for the Skins? Now, granted, you lose to Aikman twice. I give you that.
Yeah. And you were a heck of a lot closer the second time.
First time wasn't much.
But, I mean, you know, fluky things. Like, you know, Thurman Thomas loses his helmet after pregame in against the Redskins.
You know, Kenny would never allow that to happen on the Falcons.
No, I know. Well, that's why we have extra helmets. We have backups. But, it's little things, man. It's amazing to see,
you know what? The fact that you bring that up, it brings something to my memory right now when watching that. They talk about it, and it's so surreal how they talked about that one particular play. Mm-hmm. And this play is designed for Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever the running back, well, I can't remember who it was.
Kenneth Davis, probably.
He takes a false step, and they break it down. They show it to you how big this hole is, and they say Thurman hits this thing, and he hits his head on the scoreboard if he's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But because he takes this one false step, he only picks up 6 or 7 yards instead.
That's the kind of stuff I can't.
I mean, they diagram it. They show it to you. They got every single guy blocked. Nobody's safety is over here. I mean, they have it perfectly drawn up for the first play of the game, And it's just surreal things like that happen.
You know what's really funny is you look across the sidelines at the Giants and you look at the coaches that were on that sideline. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill Parcells is leading the way. I think, did you have Belichick on that staff too?
May have been.
I think Tom Coughlin might have been on that staff. I mean, wow. It was just – so you talk about coaches and how much they matter. They got a lot out of the talent that they had on that one mm-hmm. Giants team there. So, but, yeah, it's not easy to win Super Bowls. Right. Just the fact that there's so many. I mean, look at the Bills now. They haven't been to the playoffs in 16 years. Just making the playoffs can be difficult.
Detroit Lions haven't won a playoff game since 1991. Cleveland Browns are on, like, quarterback 36 came back.
That's the thing is, like, you've got to – it's all perspective, man. You got to keep some perspective during this.
Yeah, like I said, as a lifelong, you know, guy that grew up rooting for the Dolphins, they have one playoff win in the 2000s. You know who was their quarterback then? Chad Pennington.
Yeah.
They were running the Wild. Matter of fact, they didn't even win the one playoff appearance since 01, and that was with the Wildcat team. that was in vogue for like one year.
Before we move on, I want to, because we brought this up, I want to know, like, what is the most ridiculous or weirdest thing or demand that you've heard from fans since the season ended?
Well, I've heard one, because this always happens in the National Football
League. Or sports radio personalities.
I'm going to leave them out because I work with a bunch of those guys.
Plenty of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of idiotic, you know, thoughts there as well. I had fans tell me we should trade Matt Ryan for a bevy of first-round picks. A bevy. Because whomever, you know, St. Louis, Cleveland, they're going to say, you know what, we'll give you a first this year, next year, the year after, and throw in a second and third. I hate to tell you, the NFL is not like Madden. You cannot force the computer to take the trade.
Those same people will argue that Matt Ryan's not a very good quarterback yet. I had
has had five straight 4,000-yard seasons. I mean, just
and there's only two
like
other
that.
Quarterbacks yeah. that have done that, and that yeah. was Rodgers
yeah.
and Brees.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's not that good.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I heard that the reason why Matt took a little bit of a dip this year is because he's been too concerned about how he dresses. And he's too focused on his fashion. This isn't Hollywood. So that's why.
I've had people ask me, hey, you know Matt, is he having issues at home?
It's none of your business.
I mean, it's crazy the things that I've heard as well about Matt and everything else going on. So it's nonsense, you know, but hey.
It's ridiculous. Wait, he's too concerned about – if there's anybody on the team that – I don't want to say he's the least fashionable because he dresses well. I mean, he dresses better than I do, but that's not saying much. He's not a guy that's going out with, you know, trying to impress anyone. He gets on the plane – to the dress code. We're supposed to dress a certain way. He dresses a certain way. Sometimes he's suit and tie. Sometimes not so much.
But it's just, you know, that's the way it is.
Well, you know, Jay, if you and I would worry more about our fashion.
I know.
We'd probably do a better job.
I know. That is probably true.
We can't be like Shaq.
That is why people hit you up on Twitter, because you just don't dress the part.
No, I know.
Shaq actually has a thing in the back of his Escalade that, you know, it flips over and an entire wardrobe pops out. Ba-da-da!
I must have known that Escalade.
It's like BMF.
Don't know.
You know how they used to have secret compartments? That's what you got. That's what you got in the back of the truck.
I don't know about that.
Hey, DJ. What time is it?
What
time is it? Yeah, what? Oh, what time is it? Well, it's about 6:29, isn't it?
Well, you guys
It's also break with Bosek time.
Time is it? That is awesome. So you had the Flavor Flav clock telling everybody what time it is.
I don't even recall doing this, man. This must have been like the beginning of the year.
That's Young Shock. Yeah. That's a Georgia Bulldog jersey.
That is.
So when mom's trying to get on AOL and somebody who's tying up the phone line? Who's tying up the phone line?
This is obviously.
Who are you talking to, Shock?
Yeah, this is Bobo's ripping me right now.
You're talking to Bobo.
Bobo ripping me because I didn't hit the corner route version.
Now, I'm trying to see on the iBlack, does that say Escalade? No. Is that what that says?
Where are you guys finding this stuff at, man?
All right, well, what I'm trying to figure out, did Matt ever find his adult?
This is what we need. Did Matt ever find his adult, Shock? Look how young he looks. It is unbelievable. Wow.
These are the kind of things that we used to have a good time. So there are tons of pictures of us acting like we are 15, 16 years old.
Matt has the face right there like he's giggling at a cartoon.
Matt does have a little funny face.
I forget how fresh-faced he was.
Yeah. Did Butthead say that? Yeah. Yeah.
That's that face. You believe he just threw that? That cool. Looks crazy.
So I was just Googling DJ Shockley because I...
This is really what happens when you have the social
media.
It's not that I didn't have anything better to do. Anything on you, man.
It's just...
I haven't seen those three pictures, I don't think, ever, maybe.
What I found amazing was I found out something else about Shock that I didn't know while going through this. I did not know you played in the UFL.
Oh, yeah.
Really? With Jeff Garcia.
Yeah. Good for you.
Jeff Garcia, yeah. Jeff was he was a character.
That's amazing.
He was a character. Yeah, it was fun, though, man. Jeff was like 40 when we were playing there.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a good time. Yeah, I was out in Omaha, Nebraska. First time I've ever been out of Georgia. Omaha, Nebraska. It was cold and played with a lot of good guys.
Now, was that the same team that Maurice Claret played on? The Warhawks?
The Nighthawks.
Warhawks.
So weird is the day Maurice Claret left prison, they roomed him with me. And I asked him, I asked our coach, like, what's up? They said, we thought you'd be the best guy for him to room with.
Wow.
So, that's I mean, great. He literally came to our, where we were living with whatever he had from prison.
Wow.
So, that's when me and Maurice became good friends because we were roommates. He told me all about the stuff he went through when he was in Denver, when, he was at Ohio State, all the stuff, that he had to go through. So, it was fun. It was different for me, man. It was right after I left here, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. And went out there for a couple of years, so it was pretty unique, man.
That's really interesting. I think that says a lot about you when the coaches are like, "Hey, we've got this guy. Who's the best person to room him up with?"
I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
That is really, really cool.
Jeff Garcia on the team was the deal with the UFL then?
Because it was ran bad.
It was
1 year, was it?
It was like 3 years. Yeah. But it got to the point where guys weren't getting paid because of whatever reason. Just business-wise, wasn't ran good. So, but the thing about it was the competition was guys like myself who had just left NFL and were trying to get back to the league. And that's how big the competition was. So it was, it was just like you're playing, out here at Flowery Branch with, some of the guys in the NFL. So it was pretty cool.
See, this is one of the – I think this would be a good topic for a future podcast, but just talking about the need for a developmental league in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You used to have NFL Europe, and then, that went away. And then, arena football a little bit. But I don't know. It's just it seems like it would be something really, really cool.
Played against McCown, who was who's been in the league now for, a long time. He was, a quarterback on one of the teams, like four or five teams. So
I want the XFL to come back.
I don't think Vince McMahon does. That was one of the few business ventures he had that failed miserably.
I loved it.
I did too.
He hate me and...
Oh, yeah, all the nicknames and stuff.
All the nicknames, and then there's no coin toss.
Yeah, the scrum worked out well until the guy broke his arm in the scrum.
Yeah, that was bad.
But one of the cool things the XFL came up with was something that the NFL uses, the cameras on the zip lines.
Yeah.
All of that was XFL originated.
I just love that Jim Ross was calling football games. That was a lot of fun. Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then they had the Boz. That was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That lasted what, 2 years or just one? I think it was only one.
I think it was pretty attractive, though, man.
I think dudes with them nicknames is pretty cool.
Random story. Man. The first guy ever to say the U was on an XFL broadcast.
Seriously?
Really? Ryan Clement, who was a quarterback for the Las Vegas something or others.
Yeah.
He came up and said, Ryan Clement, the U. And from then on, it became
and
really
now
famous.
You hear it every Monday.
I thought it was Michael Irvin who came up with
that.
He's
the first one that I remember seeing on network TV saying, and everybody was like, wow, the U, that's pretty awesome.
How about that?
So there you go. Ryan Clement, who was
look at all the things we're learning today. The offseason's off to a great start.
We need more of the XFL. Well, a great start would be now to break with Bosnack.
Hey.
What's up, man?
Hi, Bo.
How's it going?
You and I have our offseason attire on at this point.
We do.
We're just,
you guys, no effort.
Going with the horizontal stripes today.
At least I went black and red.
Coming here one day with tank top on, man. Just call it a show. So this is uncut.
I'm going to tell you, by June, if I get down about 40 pounds, I may do a show on a tank
Ripped
top.
Up
hey,
like
all right.
All right.
Let's hope that doesn't
If you
happen.
Guys could be a participant on a game show, a past or present game show, which game show would you want to be on?
Oh, I got that right away. I know what that is.
What do you want to say?
I'm Family Feud all day. Me and my family, we got a set in our house. We watch it from 7 to 8. Steve's on there. We kill it. I kill it. I'm always getting all the points at the end. I mean, I'm made for Family Feud.
It's funny. We were today on 92.9 The Game. I was in with Rick Kamla from 10 to 2, and we stumbled across there was a Jeopardy mishap. They had a category. The guy, it was schools by nickname. They said Crimson Tide. This guy said Auburn. Yeah. So long story short, we pulled up some old funny game clips, and a lot of it had to do Family Feud because Steve Harvey takes it and makes it into a, you know, obviously a stand-up routine.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the one, the category, it was what comes after pork? You have to look this up. I won't give it away, but you have to look it up.
Yes.
And the funny thing is you're going to watch the – it's about a two-minute clip. You'll watch the beginning and go, that's the funny part, and it's funny.
Oh, really?
It's not the funny part. Oh. There's an additional funny part at the end.
I think I know what you're talking
about.
That
you will have tears in your eyes watching.
I was mad that Rick Gamble had never seen Varsity Blues.
Nor Friday. He's not seen Friday either.
That about got to me right there. I couldn't believe that.
I was a little disturbed as well.
Moxon, he didn't know who Moxon was. I was like, what?
How do you not know who Jonathan Moxon is?
I know Moxon is, man.
Or the new Twitter end zone dance.
Twitter?
Yeah, got to call it the new Twitter end zone dance.
I just always remember the whipped cream bikini from that.
Well, there's that too.
That's
Allie Larder.
That was pretty cool.
Jay, what game show do you want to be on?
So I really wish I was smart enough to be on Jeopardy because I love Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And I can do okay depending on what's going on. I would say average or maybe a hair above average on how I do there.
Jeopardy's not for me.
But I've got to go with Family Feud because it is...
You go kill it, man. Get the fucking crew on.
I don't know. I feel like I've got a good read on like what
people think
would say. I mean, I don't know. I just find myself doing pretty well on it.
You know what I'd be on that show? I'd be the idiot cousin that says the stupid answer.
Oh, gosh. Now, I'll tell you, when it gets down to, like, the last two, it's really
like
hard.
Like, two people.
Yeah. Two people. You got to think, okay, well, if I was an idiot, what would I say?
Yeah.
So that's where I'd come in handy.
That's where you would come
so
in.
So you're
handy.
Jeopardy or you're
Maybe we could all. No. See, I'm going completely different from you guys.
Okay.
I would have wanted to be on the dating game, but I wanted to be the bachelor who got to choose from three bachelorettes.
Cool.
I mean, granted, honey, I would not do that now. I'm in a committed relationship, and I really enjoy
it. You'd be all over, like, the love connection. Oh. Right there, man.
What was the one that they did the parody back on in Living Color? Wasn't it the dating game where Mike Tyson was on?
Yeah.
That's the show I wanted to be on.
Yeah.
Bachelorette number one. So, here's the scenario. I've left my wallet at home. We've ordered a nice dinner. What would you do? I think I'd be fun with that.
Bosek,
what do you want? What game really show fun. Do you want to be on?
I love the Family Feud answer, by the first of all. It's
a classic, right?
We should all try to get it. You know they shoot it in Atlanta.
So, here's the let's look at the camera. Family Feud.
Holler at us, man.
Falcons family. We'd love to be on there.
Holla
Put us against the Saints. I know we'd win that one.
We crushing them.
That'd be fun.
We crushing them.
I don't know if you guys have heard of this one. I watched this when I was a kid. It's Guts.
Yeah, I remember Guts. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I came out a little hot. I got a little excited. Guts. I remember
that
Guts.
That was serious, though.
Yeah, it was like athletic competition.
Double Dare.
Climb the aggro crag.
Double Dare was fun.
Aggro crag.
Oh, my
gosh. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I'm glad you know
that much older.
Well, like American Gladiators.
Yes. That would have been cool.
Going against Turbo.
I'd tear something. So, no,
very true.
You're off of that. What was the temple game?
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yes, that one.
Both seconds.
That one was cool.
Spot on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you what, a little tip for people, though. If you have, like, 8 hours to kill, go Google, like, game show bloopers go on YouTube, and you'll go down this rabbit hole that is amazing.
And you just keep clicking on stuff. And
you'll time travel because you'll be like, I can't believe I watched that, man.
And it's so not appropriate for here, but I'll just say, go look up Newlywed Game from, like, the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Now, first of all, in the 70s, the questions were a lot more risque than they are today. They can ask a lot of things.
Yeah, but they would always say, what's your favorite part of making whoopee?
Yeah, whoopee.
that's what they would call
whoopee.
It. Whoopee.
But you can't even say that today on TV.
No,
you'd get in trouble for that. But either way, go look that up. Yeah. You'll know which one I'm talking about immediately, and it's a classic answer.
Yeah. I like that. I love game shows, and I don't watch nearly as many as I should. Have you ever seen the one on the Game Show Network with Jerry Springer called Baggage.
Oh, it comes on late.
It comes on late. Yeah, you got to see that one. That one's in. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Baggage is real.
So it's
deal
a dating
now.
Game.
Okay.
Three different bags.
Three different people who are vying for the affection of one person, but each person has three levels of baggage.
Small.
So it's like a secret. So small, medium, and then large. And like some of this stuff is so outlandish. Like, you know, I grew up on a gerbil farm or something like that. Like, it's just.
And then at the end, though, after the three guys, whoever it is, the girl or guy, they pick them. And then at the end, the guy who picks
them,
they have to give their baggage.
Right.
And then they get to choose if I will stay with you.
Yeah. Oh. It's really, really good. It's really good.
I'll have to look that up. Baggage. We'll try to find it.
Time to open more baggage. That's what Jerry says.
Jerry's so cool with it, too, man.
This is
Jerry's
what
got jokes.
This is what you will learn on FalconCast through the offseason.
This is the offseason FalconCast,
yes.
Guys. I don't know
we'll give you some football, and we'll give you some other stuff.
We got eight lanes to go down.
And normally we're going to pick the wrong one.
Speaking of lanes, when you're driving in the car, sometimes you pull up to people at a stoplight.
And this is the video of the week.
You see them. Open up the dirty window. The sun illuminates. May the words that you cannot find. Reaching for something in a
distance. Yo, that is random. That's
so
random. Like they just pulled up and that just happened.
Yeah, I guess.
It was like hard eye contact and everything.
So. For those of you listening on iTunes, you don't really need to see that. That was just as amazing, I think, in audio as it was.
Great
That's
voice.
A hard song not to sing, though. It's very catchy.
That
is
true.
That song will always make you feel good.
But he just looked and just did not look away.
Speaking of funny music videos, did you guys ever see the...
No,
hold
no.
On.
Okay,
we'll
we can start that.
You cannot find
and then he just pulls off. And then he just pulls off.
So,
sorry, John.
Do you guys remember the song "Call Me Maybe"?
Oh yeah.
Did you ever see the Harvard baseball team video to that? It's one of the greatest videos ever.
Yeah. There were a lot of teams that did parodies on that one.
Or you guys, you were talking about the what about the basketball team that does all the thing on the sideline over there during a game?
Monmouth. No, that's Monmouth. That does all the different celebrations.
I looked that up.
Oh, you got to look this up.
I haven't seen
that.
You
never seen that?
Oh, yeah. They do some great celebration.
They are on a whole new level.
Yeah, there's none of just the throwing up the three for a
celebration.
Their celebrations are top-notch. And they're going to be an NCAA tournament team this year.
Wow.
There's your early tip.
Wow.
And they're going to beat somebody because they blew out Georgetown. They beat a couple of decent teams already this year. But look up Monmouth celebration.
John said, okay. Get your shot, getting your things together now.
Get your bracket. So
I'm over here just
get your bracket
like,
breakers.
Just let me know when Syracuse is relevant again.
The Cuse.
By the way, the Canes beat them, but that's neither here nor
there. By the way,
I'm just going to throw that out there. And I'm going to throw out that I ended the year on a hot note. And unfortunately, I kind of.
Hot note, but you came in last.
I kind of jobbed the two guys that I was trying
to.
I did.
You did.
We did picks to click last week, ended the season. DJ had True Fun, three tackles.
Thank you.
Jay had Roddy, eight foe. One catch for 10 yards. Posek had Hardy, four catches, 34 yards, not bad. But I picked up a win with Jacob Tammy, four catches, 61 yards, and a big block as Tony Moriaki, as Wes affectionately said, Hawkeye in the end zone is Tony Moriaki.
Posek, put that up again. Five. Oh, yeah. Looks good. Thank you for showing me that. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the round of applause.
Speech.
Thank you.
Speech.
Thank you.
Speech.
Well, you know what I would like to thank?
Eight-fo.
All the guys. Eight-fo got the win for me. He did. He got the number five, so Eight-fo, I appreciate you, brother. You're always my dog, so I appreciate that.
You really benefited from tight end appreciation day.
I did.
That was big.
It's a lot of tight ends catching the ball.
You know, the big pick would have been Tony Milwaukee.
Yeah. He had a big day. And
yeah, I said
touchdown.
Tony Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee. That happened.
So, somebody on Twitter, it was the DW from the Falcoholic, tweeted Tony Milwaukee when Moriaki scored.
Like
there
you go. Milwaukee, Moriaki.
What I'm going to call him.
Tony Moriaki going
after
ham.
After the game, I think I had an old Milwaukee. I mean, but that's neither here nor there.
Several.
Congratulations, DJ.
So congratulations to Shock. Picks
where
up our
where is my
season.
Prize? Where is my prize?
Your prize is a bucket full of prize.
Where is my prize?
But the
you,
real
you get
prize.
To talk crap to us the rest of the year.
Oh, I can do that. Nah, I ain't no prize. I'm going to bring that up every time.
And you can punch Jay in the ribs at least.
No. He does it anyway. I'm going to have kidney problems.
Shock did win picks to click. Five. Bosak and Jay both finished with four. I was bringing up the rear. I did win two of the last 3 weeks to end up with three, though. So there's something to be said about that.
I still love that it took you forever to get a win, and then your first win was Devontae Freeman, and after that we were like, you can't pick Devontae anymore.
Not happening.
Which is kind of funny, because if you would have picked Devontae, like, closer towards the end of the season, you probably wouldn't have won.
No.
It's kind of funny.
You could open him back up next year, maybe. At the beginning of the year. So, we're going to do a picks to click playoff edition. Bosak has the rules for this, how we're going to kind of do this.
How are we going
to
do this?
To make it fair, to see how we're going to go.
All right. So, first, I just want to say that this is like everyone just picks one team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every time your team gets a win, you get a point.
Okay.
So if you pick a wild card team, you have a chance to gain an extra pick, an extra win, as opposed to picking just, say, New England or somebody along those lines.
Yep.
So do I get to go first because I finished in dead last, or do we let Shot go first because he was the winner?
So here's the bracket. Right. Here's the team.
Or should we pick one NFC team and one AFC team?
Ooh, we could do that.
I didn't mean to screw up your little party here, but
we could vote.
No.
I'm with it. I don't care.
Shock's over here like, I won the regular season. I'm checking.
You know what I mean? I already got me a trophy. I don't mind getting two.
I don't care. I think we should do an AFC-NFC. So that way we each are going to get one. There'll be two teams that'll be out, and we'll see what happens.
So there's four of us, and then there's a math right on this?
Well, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because we each get one. No, you can't. Can we take the same ones?
No.
That's
no. So once a team is gone
–
Yep.
All right.
So do we want to do last to first?
See, I think how we do this is a snake draft, like a fantasy football. So Shock will go first. One of you two go second or third. I'll go last. But then on the backside, I get to go first. So there, you get to be first, Shock. Who are you taking first as your team? Boats, like, you better write these down.
All right.
Because we will forget.
That's fine.
First, I am going to take in the NFC. I will take the Arizona Cardinals. I'm taking Arizona. I like Arizona and the NFC.
So Arizona's off the board.
Jay or myself? Jay, go ahead.
Well, flip a coin here.
Okay.
All right, how about this? I'll pick a number between 1 and 10. Bosak?
7.
Okay.
6.
Come on, what's on his shirt? What's my number?
So Jay. Oh, there you go, Jay.
Okay. Can you put that back up there?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, you know, boy, this is tough because I really don't want to. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going
to
do
You better be trying to win.
You better try to win.
Yeah,
you're right.
So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to if you don't.
All right, I'll take Carolina.
I will take the Seattle Seahawks.
You guys went all NFC.
Yeah.
So I've pretty much got the entire board open for me. Let me look at this bracket once again. I don't have a whole lot in the NFC to choose from. But over on the AFC, and I'm going to be really strategic with this because you need more points, and I think this team is going to at least the AFC Championship game. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to take them, and I guess
I like
in the
Pittsburgh
NFC,
too.
Wow, I have to take a team.
Pittsburgh, too.
This is not good. I'm going to ride with Aaron Rodgers, so I'll take Pittsburgh and Green Bay since you guys took everybody else in the NFC. Don't have much of a choice.
All right, Bosak, who's your AFC team?
Ooh, this is a tough one.
I got mine already.
So do I.
Better not say mine.
You better not say mine.
I want to go with the New England Patriots.
Okay.
All right.
Jay?
I'm going with the red hot Kansas City.
Nice! Chiefs.
There it is.
I hurt my toe.
Shock, who are you taking? Go with the Texans.
Oh, man. Get the book out of here.
You don't have much of a choice. I know where you're going.
Yeah, I gotta go Denver. I'm going Denver.
All right.
Denver.
So you got Denver and Arizona. Jay, you've got
Carolina
and Kansas City.
Bosak, you wrote these down?
Yeah, I got it's recorded.
Bosak, who do you have?
Very true.
Seattle and New England.
Seattle and New England, and I've got Pittsburgh and the Packers.
You guys meet my little guy. This is Trey. Look at you.
Trey.
What's up, Trey? You on TV.
Wave to the TV.
Wave to the people. Wave.
No!
Captain America is shy.
Come on.
Captain America with the eyes. He's saying they can't see. He's John Cena.
He can throw my paper this week.
You want to throw my paper?
We'll see you guys next week.
See ya. All right, throw it at the TV. He's a lefty.
Yeah! Oh!
Boot. Oh.